If you're snacking on anything but tasty cake, you're making a huge Miss Cake. A fistful of chocolate-covered raisins? Miss Cake. A spoonful of peanut butter? Bigger Miss Cake. Or the worst Miss Cake of all, your kid's Halloween candy, and it's April. If it's not tasty cake, it's a Miss Cake. Because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet or rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Tasty cake. Accept no substitutes.
Hello and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield and I'm the co-director of charts at Billboard. And joining me as always is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Keith.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm okay.
Did you do anything this weekend?
Did you do anything fun this weekend? Anything possibly relating to a musical award show? Music's biggest night, perhaps?
Perhaps.
Yeah, we're talking about the Grammy Awards. We'll be talking all about the Grammys later on in the show. This is sort of our post-show, post-game wrap-up.
Post-show podcast.
It's our post-show podcast. Post-show podcast.
Post-show pop shop podcast.
Post-show podcast. Yeah. We're going to recap all of the good stuff that happened at the Grammys, the highs, the lows, the in-betweens, our experiences covering the red carpet, and much more. And also, we have a very special guest this week who watched the Grammys and is also a musical artist and Billboard chart-topping superstar in her own right, Camila Cabello of Fifth Harmony.
May or may not have a best friend who won a lot of Grammys, actually,
you know,
on Monday.
She might know Taylor Swift. I say all that, and I also have to say that the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. As I said, this week's show is all about the Grammys and our experiences there. In addition, we've got chart updates on the Billboard 200 albums chart, the Billboard Hot 100, and how Kanye West's new album is out, but not on our charts just quite yet.
That's the confusing one.
It's the confusing one. By the time you hear this, there could be a new twist.
A new development.
To the saga of Pablo. I've renamed the album. Maybe he'll rename the album. Who knows? Our interview with Camila was, frankly, just lovely.
Adorable.
She's just unicorns and rainbows.
Sweet.
She was lovely. She came by with her mom. I don't think I'm revealing anything too much there.
That's all we need to say about her.
She's great. But she talked about her success with her single with Shawn Mendes, I Know What You Did Last Summer, which was a top 10 hit on the pop songs chart and a top 20 hit on the Hot 100, and talked about, you know, sort of the songwriting process behind the song and, you know, how they were sort of flabbergasted that it turned into a hit single. She also teased a little bit about Fifth Harmony's upcoming music. It's imminent, it seems, so look forward to that. And she talked about, you know, of course, cheering on her friend Taylor Swift at the Grammys, and she talked about her thoughts on Taylor winning Album of the Year. But first, some housekeeping notes. If you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss a single episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it, because we enjoy your praise. Feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or at KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. I paused there, a dramatic pause.
Ooh, you're like, what else is in that URL?
And I was like, ooh, there's more. What have we added?
But wait, there's more.
So let's talk about the Grammys, Katie.
Let's.
I was on the red carpet. Katie was in
the press room backstage.
You're literally in that press room the entire time.
Oh, yeah. You have to get there at noon. Well, you also have to get there.
Yeah, I got to the carpet at 11:30. Yeah.
You have to get in that press room at noon, and it is nonstop until the show wraps it. I should say we're talking PT over here. Noon to 8:30 p.m. when the show ends, and then even after that, it goes for another hour and change as winners come straggling backstage, you know, to talk to the press room.
Did you get to go to the bathroom?
You know, occasionally. But most of the time, you're juggling between a headset.
They give you a pan that you could...
Yeah, right. You have a headset where you are, you know, you've got the headset in one ear, and you're listening to the show in either the pre-tell ceremony or the telecast, and you're also listening to, you know, Alabama Shakes talk to you on the press room stage at the same time. So it's like this It's really a multitasker's dream.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why you're good at it.
I have to say, like, it was much more comfortable this year. It was the second year I've done that red carpet. First year, I was like, what is this? This year, I was like, oh, I'm so ready. I know what I'm in for. Like, let's do this thing.
Doing the press room. Just because it's so chaotic.
It's, yeah. And it's just long. Long it's and chaotic.
Long. It's long.
Yeah.
I mean, I remark about how the red carpet duty is long.
Yeah.
I mean, the carpet itself, yes, is hundreds of feet long. However, I'm talking in terms of length of time.
Yes.
because you have to be there no later than basically 11:30. And then the carpet is open until 5. Like, it opens at noon. So it's like a 5-hour red carpet. And it goes by really fast.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes by like that.
Yeah.
And we talked to a lot of folks. There was actually a team of us at Billboard's position on the carpet. Me and Erin Strecker, who works for Billboard.com in New York. She flew out here. We also had a couple social media people that were Instagramming and Twittering and, you know, Snapchatting.
Capturing the Grammys.
Capturing the Grammys from all
and
different
truly,
angles.
And truly, I mean, I kept checking our Twitter and our Instagram while I was in the press room to see what I, you know, what I wasn't seeing.
Right.
And it was just constant.
Yeah, Stephanie, who does our social media, she was there on the carpet, and she was just gangbusters, doing a great job.
Yeah.
So check out all of our interviews from the red carpet. They're on our YouTube channel, and they're also on billboard.com/videos. Slash videos. Thank you. We talked to everyone from Tori Kelly and Sam Hunt to Casey Musgraves to Tony Bennett, who complimented my tie, which is, I mean, really, what more can you ask for?
And Tony Bennett's rival, Josh Groban.
Talked to Josh Groban. I actually brought up Josh Groban to Tony Bennett.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because I had said, like, you know, both Josh Groban and Barry Manilow have said, well, we're up against Tony Bennett. We know Tony's going to
win.
And they're like, oh, and Tony was just, like, very good-natured about it. And he was like, well, you know, it's some pretty good competition this year, so I was a little bit concerned.
As he then marched right on the carpet straight into the pre-tell ceremony and won the award.
Also, it's just cool to talk to Tony Bennett.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, and I talked to, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire on the
carpet. My goodness. Yeah, they came to the press room as well.
They were lovely.
Oh, my goodness. Actually, you know, I talked to Verdeen, whose brother, Maurice, is who passed away from the group, and they actually were named Lifetime Achievement Award winners prior to Maurice dying. And so I asked him, you know, whether he was able to speak with Maurice about that. And he said he was actually the one that called Maurice and told him about it. And he said, you know what? You're going to want to come to this one. He told Maurice, because Maurice obviously has been in poor health and has not, you know, gotten out to a lot of these events, hasn't been performing with the group. So it's just a little bit, you know, even sadder to think that, you know, this was the one he was going to make the effort to come out to.
I have to say, it was, you know, when Earth, Wind, and Fire came up and started talking to me on the carpet, it's always challenging to ask someone who the topic is something that is terrible.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I can't not ask this, and so I'm awkward, but I'm like, how are you guys doing right now?
Yeah.
And they were all in very good spirits.
Yes.
And I think, you know, perhaps as one does, you're able to kind of prepare for something, and perhaps they've had time to prepare and accept and move on, and it's always a very sad thing, but I think because of how he's been ill for a while, maybe it's been a little bit easier to a slight degree for them to be able to process it, but it's still never easy.
And I'm sure they also saw it as the lovely opportunity it was to celebrate his legacy.
I think that's what they felt like.
Absolutely,
too.
Yeah.
And they celebrated it at the Clive Davis party where they performed.
Yeah,
which I saw lots of YouTube.
Man,
of.
The list at that party.
I know.
Barry Manilow performed, who has also had his own health issues recently, and then he just gets up and performs at the Clive Davis party.
The Clive Davis party is the only party where not only can Fetty Wap perform. But Barry Manilow will be on the same stage at some point. And it's also when you see photos where you see a photograph where I saw it was Ellie Goulding, Jordan Sparks, Suzanne Summers.
Yep, I saw this picture.
And two other women who I'm blanking on. But I was just like, only at Clive's party. Only. Because in the very next shot will be like Joan Collins and NFL running back, you know, or whoever. So what was your highlights in terms of the performances for the evening?
Oh man,
on the show.
Well, Kendrick Lamar me was just incredible. I was like just rapt that entire time, like watching that performance.
Theater.
And he's such a good he's such a good live rapper, which is I don't think that's an easy task, and I think that you see it
a lot.
Where you just don't sometimes like the recordings don't translate to awesome live performances, and he bucks that altogether. Like his rapping is even more energetic, you know, when it's live, and even crazier and more impressive. And anyway, like, so just like technically it was awesome, but then like what he was conveying was awesome, the visual was awesome, like it was just incredible.
I thought Lady Gaga's performance was pretty great.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I thought there were a couple moments in it where you kind of felt like it was like in everything and the kitchen sink kind of vibers, like, well,
there's just so many songs you want to get in there because there's so many classic songs.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like there's so many songs, and when you try to shoehorn them all in, it becomes a little bit wobbly.
Right.
And I think it started off so incredibly strong with that the projection of her face and his face, and the imagery on it was just such a technical feat.
Yes.
And it was also just great seeing her with Nile Rodgers, and Nile Rodgers, you know, produced the Let's Dance album, and which has the song Let's Dance on it.
Yep.
And which they performed together.
I liked her doing fashion too,
which was great.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the whole thing was pretty darn amazing.
Yes.
And there were, I mean, we can quibble a little bit, but it was pretty amazing.
I think, and the whole pairing of her and Intel to do that, like all the technical stuff, like it's just like, I feel like David Bowie would have appreciated, like, it was very experimental and new, and we hadn't seen a lot of that technology.
People were griping, like, oh, was Bowie presented by Intel? I'm like, well, no, but Bowie probably wouldn't have shied away from some sort of, like, interesting technological
advances
that were maybe sponsored by a technology company, but is able to sort of elevate your art to some sort of new level.
Exactly.
And if you're not being compromised, then try it.
Yes.
So I think those were two of the big performances of the night.
The Hamilton Broadway,
that was great.
Performance was really great too, and it's just like I've listened to the entire soundtrack, and I knew the song.
This was the first time
I've been able to see an actual staging of it. And usually you have to wait for the Tonys to see something like that.
And it's
really
still not
cool.
Even on their actual stage.
Yeah, and so it's really cool for the Grammys to have given that spotlight. And I was wondering, and maybe I'll have to look this up after we record, but when the last time they handed out the Musical Theater Album Award during the main telecast.
Yeah.
Like maybe the 60s or something. Like that's like such a huge thing that they did. Like that just shows how, you know, impactful this musical is.
I was like sitting there watching. I'm like, oh, I hope it's Hamilton.
Well, it couldn't not be. Like, I guess it could have.
It could have been anyone else.
That would have been shocking.
Yeah. But anyway, were there any sort of surprise surprise wins or losses that were sort of like really surprising?
Honestly, the ones that were announced in the main telecast,
we're all like, by the book.
No, I mean, it's not like you could predict all of them, but there wasn't any sort of, there wasn't an Esperanza Spalding winning
like
Best New Artist.
D'Angelo,
you know?
Winning Record of the Year.
Right, like, right. Yeah, exactly. I think that there were a lot of people that thought and hoped that Kendrick would win Album of the Year, but that doesn't mean that Taylor wasn't a front runner or a favorite to win it, you know? I think that, honestly, they were like 50-50. People, if you went on Twitter beforehand, it was 50-50 who thought they were going to win. If somebody outside of those two had won, then that would have been shocking.
Yeah, like if Chris Stapleton had suddenly won.
It wouldn't
have been like wrong.
No.
Just would have been like, whoa, I was expecting Taylor or Kendrick because
exactly.
They seemed like the front runners. And then you would have said, oh, maybe they split the vote.
Yeah, yeah.
I did think it was nice when Taylor won. She got up, was obviously thrilled. And then as she was walking over, she ran over and embraced Kendrick. And because not only did Kendrick not win that category, but she's obviously a huge fan, and Kendrick was on, you know, Bad Blood.
Yeah.
Now, I realized when I tweeted you something after the fact, and I realized I was wrong, he is not on the album version of Bad Blood, is he?
Oh, good call. So he actually doesn't get to share in this Album of the Year win.
Yeah, I thought he was not. I thought...
It was a remix.
For the Album of the Year category, the performer and all of the featured performers are also nominees. So if someone is featured on the album, they also win the Album of the Year category. So I thought Kendrick actually technically won it with Taylor for 1989, but he was not on the album version of Bad Blood.
Right.
So I was wrong.
This seems like it might be a good time to transition to some of our Ask the Pop Shop questions.
Yes, yeah, so we sent out a tweet asking folks if they had any burning questions about the Grammy Awards to tweet us with the hashtag Ask the Pop Shop.
I mean, why don't we start with Joseph at BrosifAZ.
Okay, Brosif.
Who says, why the hell didn't Kendrick win Album of the Year?
Well, here's my theory.
Yes.
Hip-hop is generally fairly challenged in the top categories in terms of getting wide acceptance from the entire voting body of the Recording Academy.
Sure.
Only twice have a hip-hop album won Album of the Year. Lauryn Hill's The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. And some people might argue that that's not really a hip-hop album. That's like R&B. I'm like, but she does rap.
She raps and she sings.
And she sings, and that's hip-hop. And then Outkast.
Yeah.
For Speakerbox, The Love Below. Might surprise people that, you know, Kanye's never won it. Eminem has never won it. You know, Eminem famously lost to Steely Dan 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So hip-hop is still struggles in the top, the very top categories.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it has to do with how the Recording Academy itself, the voting body, is skewing a little bit old.
Yeah.
And is not as hip as, you know, sometimes people would like them to be when it comes to selecting things. And that's, I mean that in a purely sort of like, there's nothing wrong with Taylor Swift winning. It's just, it's, you know, it's like the, when
it
people
was
talk,
working, that was working against Kendrick, is what you're saying. Not
yes.
saying that, like, he was robbed.
No, right. No. It was just, Taylor had an album that really crossed so many demographics and really appealed to, frankly, just a wider swath of the Recording Academy, and that's what these things are. It's a contest of
the consensus on
who got the most votes, and mm-hmm. more people voted for Taylor. That's all it is.
Yep.
And you know, when you've got, you know, thousands of people voting, that's how it works.
Yep, I agree with all of that.
Okay.
Although on last week's Pop Shop, I did say I thought that Kendrick could win because of how diverse that album is. Like, it,
yeah.
to me, it transcends hip hop. Like, you listen to that thing, there's like some of the like greatest like jazz music, you know, ever going on this hip hop album.
If Josh Groban's a fan of Kendrick, then clearly he crosses lines.
Exactly.
And crosses boundaries.
So I thought maybe the multi-genre nature of Kendrick might work in his favor. Not this time, but yeah. I feel like it's just the beginning for Kendrick.
Let's
so.
Do another one.
Moving on, and thank you for submitting these with the hashtag Ask the Pop Shop.
Yeah.
We always appreciate your questions.
Thank you.
A very general one is, how do they vote for candidates and winners at the Grammys?
Well, that's a very long...
We can do it quick.
Basically, you can be a voting member of the Grammys if you have a certain number of credits on... commercially released music. So it could be, you could be an engineer, you could be a songwriter, you could write liner notes, you could be an artist, a singer, whatever. If you have enough of these credits, then you can apply to become a voting member. You pay a fee, you fill out a form, and boom, you're a voting member. Then you have the opportunity to submit recordings throughout the year, you know, your own recordings or someone else's for consideration. Those are then put into various categories, everything from R&B and pop to country, bluegrass, Christian gospel, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's various screening committees that happen where people get together in rooms and determine, is this really an R&B record? Should this be in the R&B category? Maybe it's more of a gospel record.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens in all these different little screening committees. They figure out what's actually supposed to be where. And then there is sort of a series of kind of layered voting that happens with like sort of special committees, larger bodies of voting people, you know, certain specialty categories, like some of the video categories or some of like surround sound have very select voting things. And then at the end of the day, you get kind of the final ballot.
It is nice to know how it's broken down like by genre and there's experts that are in each field.
For many of those fields.
Determining.
Yeah, not necessarily all the fields.
Right.
But for
but
many
it is,
of them.
It's nice to know that, like, it's not like a general, like, music listening audience. It's just like, I guess that's the best Americana Roots album.
Right.
Well, that sounds okay. Or I've heard that name before.
I actually talked to a Cascade on the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking, because he's a big EDM artist, and he's a voting member of the Academy. And I asked him, I said, you know, the dance categories have really changed in the past 13 years, and And I said, are you part of these special screening committees? He's like, I don't think I'm allowed to say if I am. And I said, well, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I said, but it seems like the categories have changed, where it used to be very mainstream pop artists, you know, Madonna, Kylie, and Gloria Estefan.
Right.
And then that transition to very core dance artists, yes, like Skrillex, Diplo, you know,
who
whatever.
Won everything last
right.
night.
So yes, it's not just like Rihanna's dance track.
Exactly,
wins.
Exactly.
So it's things like that where there's, you know, some tweaks are made to the various categories to sort of ensure that they're more properly representing what the Academy feels are the best recordings of that genre. There's all this information you can find on Grammy.com. They have a frequently asked questions section. You can read more about it. There's a cool infographic that shows you the timeline and the flow of how things work. It's much more than what I can actually possibly say in a very short answer.
I think you did a nice rundown, though.
Thanks. Yeah.
And let's move on to another question.
Okay.
Kethry at NSFW underscore IWT.
Not safe for work.
Not safe for work,
oh,
Kethry.
Dear. What have we just advertised?
Why wasn't One Direction nominated?
See also the Kendrick Lamar thing I just
yes.
said.
Yes. Although I feel like there's a couple of layers to this one. First
Tell me about
of all,
these layers.
The first one of the layers is that their most recent album was put out in November, which is past the eligibility period.
The eligibility period runs October 1st through September 30th every year.
But then Drag Me Down, which was a very well received single.
The first single from the album.
Yes. That was released in July. So actually that was eligible. Mm. So the Grammys did snub Drag Me Down.
And they've actually never been nominated for a Grammy.
And I think that kind of gets down to it. Like, there are certain groups and bands and people that are maybe just more attractive to Grammy voters for whatever reasons, or more respected, or more, you know, just well-received by Grammy voters. And One Direction seems to have not struck that chord.
Yeah, I mean, if there's like a group of pop artists, like, that sort of, and I don't know why it is the way it is, it's just, they just don't resonate for whatever reason.
But then it seemed like Justin Bieber might be one of those people. He had been nominated for Best New Artist before, and then this year he was nominated for Where Are You Now with Skrillex and Diplo, which gave him his very first Grammy win.
Yeah.
And he's been around for, I don't know, 6 years at this point, at least seven. And so, you know, maybe if One Direction comes back from hiatus and puts an album out, then maybe we'll see it'll change.
You never know. Any more, or is that? Do you think three is a good solid number?
I think three is a good solid number.
All right. Doesn't mean we can't revisit this idea later on down the road.
Yes.
We always do. We always love Ask the Pop Shop. It always generates so many fun questions for
us.
Yes. I want to get to some chart news because we can't ignore the charts this week because, well, that's my bread and butter. on the Billboard 200, Future debuts at number one with his new album, Evol. Or is it EVOL?
You know, all I know is that he's said that it's supposed to be love backward.
Oh.
So I don't know if there's a pronunciation on that. I would say Evol, but
it's like evil, but with an O. He debuts at number one with Evol. It was exclusive to Apple's ecosystem for its first week, so Apple Music and the iTunes Store. Did 134,000 equivalent album units in the week ending February 11th, according to Nielsen Music. The interesting thing behind this is that it's actually his third number one album in less than 7 months' time.
That's insane.
Right. So he had this album, and then What a Time to Be Alive with Drake, and then before that, his DS2 album. And amazingly, since 1963, when the Billboard 200 became an all-encompassing chart where it combined our former stereo and mono albums. Back in the day, we had two different charts, one for mono and one for stereo recordings. And then we combined them into one big chart in 1963. Since 1963, only three other acts have had three number one albums in that span of time.
Wow.
Yeah, in terms of like their first week at number one. So take three albums. Their first week at number one. So it wasn't like, oh, Titanic or like Taylor was number one for 20 weeks and then the next week she was number one again. It's like, no, starting from that first week.
So these have to be very prolific artists.
Well, one of them is kind of a trick.
Okay.
One of them is the Glee cast.
Okay.
Who had three number ones in like less than 2 months.
That is a trick.
Yeah, that is a trick. So it's squishy. So I said, well, if we don't count Glee or in addition to Glee.
Yes.
You have to go back to Herb Albert.
That was not coming to the tip of my tongue.
You weren't even going to think of that.
And his Tijuana Brass.
And the Tijuana Brass. So Herb Albert did it between 1965 and 1966. It was between November 27th, 1965 and May 28th, 1966. Herb Albert notched his first weeks in number one with Whipped Cream and Other Delights, Going Places, and What Now, My Love. Before that, the last act to do it, and the only other act to do it since 1963, was the Beatles.
See, and I was trying to think about this. I always thought of the Beatles as releasing like one album a year. So what was the window?
Let
me put you on the spot completely.
Thanks. I don't actually have those in front of me, but it was like that 1964, 65
like the
window.
Early period, mm-hmm. when they first came over to America, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit later, they were putting out an album like every 8 months.
Yeah, okay.
But in that sort of 64 to 66, there was an album like every few months because it was... They were very prolific.
Yes.
So yeah, only those four acts have been able to do so.
I feel like most chart stats, I should just guess the Beatles.
Beatles is usually a good guess
it's a
for
good
everything.
Guess.
So that's the big exciting news on the Billboard 200. Over on the Billboard Hot 100.
Ooh, big news over there.
Justin Bieber, who we just talked about, not only wins his first Grammy this week, but also retakes number one from Zayn.
Yep.
From formerly of One Direction.
The act trading spots.
The act that didn't have any Grammy nominations yet.
Not yet.
So Love Yourself actually goes back to number one. It goes 2-1 after first topping the chart 2 weeks ago. In other news on the chart, 21 Pilots is getting closer and closer to number one. Stressed Out jumps 4-2. It's a new peak.
Wow.
So we could be looking at 21 Pilots with a number one single here soon, which is crazy. I mean, that's great.
My husband's not a fan.
Okay.
He does not pay attention to pop music, but that one has like
grated on
permeated his psyche, and he can't handle it. It makes him stressed out, actually.
All right.
Yes. I like it.
Yeah. Well, I'm
clearly not alone.
I'd love to see a rock act at number one.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Absolutely.
So that's the big exciting news on the Hot 100. And then also, in terms of what is not on our album or singles charts yet, though it is on our Billboard plus Twitter top tracks chart, is Kanye West. Has a new album out. You may have heard of it, Life of Pablo. It is released... as of our recording this, exclusively as a streaming album through Tidal only, and Kanye West has said that it will never be for sale, ever. Despite the fact that he briefly announced that it was on sale through Tidal for $20 a pop, I don't think any of those sales actually ever made it through. A lot of people on Twitter were complaining that the transactions weren't happening. And also the fact that he sold the album as a digital download with tickets to his Madison Square Garden Yeezy Season 3 fashion show / listening party. So I guess those people aren't going to get a digital download of an album anytime soon. Also,
maybe
people,
they'll give them free Tidal memberships.
Maybe. And also people that paid for movie tickets to screenings where they simulcast and broadcast the fashion show to theaters all around the world. In the United States, they sold movie tickets that came with an album. That album has yet to be delivered. So, all very interesting times for Kanye West right now. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
That is very much the tip of the iceberg.
Considering all the things that he has said on Twitter.
That's
from asking Mark Zuckerberg for money, saying that Bill Cosby's innocent, talking about...
It might be more surprising
goodness.
If he had just put his album up for sale traditionally. That might have been the surprising thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. The joke I shared with Katie earlier was that watch we'll see like Kanye put out his album for sale, but only on like cassette, just to really screw with us. So who knows? Maybe the album will come out commercially available soon. It doesn't appear that way, but anything's possible in the world of Kanye.
I listened to the album through the live stream.
We watched the live stream.
Show.
Yeah,
it's great. That's like that's the thing about Kanye, is all this weird stuff floating around him,
uh-huh.
and all the talking points about him and all the things that he says to just bury himself. But then he puts out good music, and that's what his job is, to make good music, and he's doing that. So,
well, one of the lyrics on that album, people are Well, people are not interpreting it, but there's a lyric on the album.
There's a very straightforward literal lyric.
There's a literal lyric about Taylor Swift on the album. He name checks Taylor. And
it is not a metaphor.
There's probably no question. He name checks Taylor Swift in a lyric that has caused a bit of controversy. That some people feel Taylor actually addressed head on when she won Album of the Year at the Grammy Awards.
Yes.
Now, she didn't single his name out. She didn't say
it. The key word was fame, because he said in lyric, he said, "I made that, Taylor famous.
I made that."
And, well,
famous.
Yeah, let's. We don't need to. Nope. I don't need
I'm
to
not gonna
say it
that.
Literally. But
it's a term of endearment, though, according to Kanye.
Yeah. But yeah, that's another episode of the podcast. Mm. But Taylor said people try to take credit for your fame. Mm. She specifically used that word fame. And
that's what that was the telling.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think we can leave all of that now and move on to something a little bit sunnier.
A lot sunnier.
A lot sunnier. Our interview with Camila Cabello, Fifth Harmony, who, as we said earlier, is just lovely and awesome, and she's always so much fun to talk to. And we talked about, I know what she did last summer, we talked about Fifth Harmony, we talked about the new album, how it's coming together, how it's basically done. And she also talked about her thoughts on Taylor winning Album of the Year and, you know, actually her thoughts on Taylor's speech when she won. And also partying with Taylor, evidently, all night long. It must be fun to be, like, hanging out with, like, Taylor and
her
squad.
She's in the squad.
She's in the squad. So here's our interview with Camila Cabello. No, you didn't mean it, though. No, you didn't mean it, though. I can't seem to let you go. Can't seem to hold you close. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome back to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, Camila Cabello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is me.
This is me.
That is who I am.
That would be you. You've been on the Pop Shop Podcast. This is now your third time,
really?
Maybe even more. Well, Fifth Harmony's been on at least twice.
Wow.
Yeah, you were with Jason,
yeah,
probably.
In New York. Jason.
Yep, and we made him wear neon.
Yes.
And dress up in like
That's
a weird
right.
outfit.
You guys did a So You Know I Can't Dance.
Yes,
thing.
And it was incredible.
And the best part is that we both embarrassed each other. Like, I think Jason thought that he was going to be the one to not dance, and it was like him and I, like, what are the dance moves to our song?
Like, I should know this.
I was like learning.
Well, you're super busy right now.
Yeah.
Crazy busy. But we just watched you on Ellen perform with Shawn Mendes,
yeah.
Your current hot hit single, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was amazing.
Was that you guys have performed on Ellen before, right? With
yeah, the girls and I have performed twice before. One for Better Together and one for Sledgehammer, I think.
Mm.
But every time I meet her, I blank. Because yeah. she does a thing where after you perform, she goes up to you and she says something, and I can never remember what she said because I love her so much, and I get super nervous like to perform on her show. But it's really cool, like especially with this song that Sean and I wrote. Like, I don't think that we expected for people to like it as much as they did. It's something that we kind of did for fun, and you know, let alone you know have his label pick it as a single, but like. Getting to do the things that we've done and perform on Ellen and perform on Fallon has been, like, I didn't expect it. It's been so cool.
Seems like it was, like, I didn't realize, because Katie and I were talking about this beforehand, because we weren't sure if the song originated, like, elsewhere and then came to you guys as, like, a pre-existing song.
Oh,
but you wrote it together.
You wrote it together.
No,
so it was always a duet, too? Like, it was always meant to be?
Yeah, I mean, because we wrote it as a duet. I remember literally the exact moment, because I have it. My mom saw, like, him and I jamming or whatever, and my mom likes to, like, document everything in my life, and she like filmed it like on my iPhone. And
there's
going to
be an amazing DVD home video
home
one
movies.
Day.
I know.
Home movies.
Yeah, it's cool because I can still like watch it back and be like, wow, it's cool to see, like all even the little parts that we made up that didn't make it into the final song, mm-hmm. and to see like kind of where it started. But I remember there's like a clip on the video where he and I are talking, and we're like, how cool would it be if this was like a two-sided story where like you're singing this part, and like you're the one that's cheating on me, and then I'm talking from this point of view. And it's cool because I love songs that have storylines like
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like a huge musical theater kid, and so I like when there's like drama in songs.
Totally.
And it's kind of like a communication between two people, and you can only really do that in a duet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's cool that songs have almost all the time, it's just like one point of view. But to have two people talking,
it's a conversation.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And that's what, that's that, you were saying this, Katie, like the lyrical thing that you really liked.
Yeah. I picked up on like the fact that you guys each sing different pronouns. You say I, he yeah. says she. And like, I feel like I've never heard that before in a duet. And it's like a really cool effect.
Thank you. I think that's why I like it so much, because I was just kind of like, this is cool that we're doing, that we're using you and I like in this room together to make, you know, something that isn't necessarily done every day, which is a right. duet, like a conversation between two people.
two peepees had a conversation. It was lovely.
But yeah, it's cool that, you know, he and I wrote it together and it wasn't something that was just kind of handed to us. I think that's why
yeah.
it's been so fun and why I get so excited that, you know, that we're getting to perform it at these cool places and yeah. that it went platinum the other day, which is like crazy. But the fact that it's a song that he and I wrote that we like, it was, we had our hearts in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what makes it special.
I think just to rattle
off
some...
Totally lost my voice and I sound like a prepubescent boy right now. I'm like, it was so awesome.
You sound so husky.
No, it's like a sultry Kathleen Turner voice.
Yeah. It's very Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the
there
Heart.
There you go.
I always lose my voice at these Grammy things. Like
it's
at
a
these
sign of a fun
things.
Time.
It is a yeah. sign of a fun time. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that the song went top 10 on our pop songs chart, mainstream top 40 airplay, which you knew about,
a couple weeks ago.
That's so cool.
And top 20 on the Billboard Hot 100, too.
That's so...
It's awesome.
That's yeah. ridiculous. I can't even...
All for something that wasn't even like, you know, it was just like a fun thing you guys wanted to do.
Yeah, I didn't even think that it was going to make it on his album. Like, I really didn't expect for it to come out of that dressing room.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
Because I've never done anything like that before where it was like I've had writing sessions with people, but I've never had one where it was just kind of like, you're just there and then you start making a song and you're just kind of like, it's too good to be true that something really
worked.
Cool will
yeah.
come out of this, because even when you do writing sessions, it's so rare that things even make it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
yeah.
To be
That's
heard
awesome.
Outside. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, I want to know, we're recording this actually the day after the Grammy Awards.
Oh, okay.
It's going to air...
Probably two days after the Grammy Awards.
So Grammys are still very fresh in our minds. Did you happen to catch the Grammy Awards? And
yeah, I did.
Did you see Taylor, your friend Taylor,
I
winning Album of the Year?
I love her so much. Yeah, so my mom and I, my whole family and I were watching from our hotel room couch. And so we were watching the Grammy Awards, and I had been texting Taylor like all of this time throughout this week, just like 5 days to go, 4 days to go, because I was so excited for her, because yeah. she was really, really excited about her performance and obviously her nominations.
Yeah.
And I literally sent all of the vibes into the universe because I wanted her to win so badly. And she was amazing. Her performance was amazing. And I'm so happy that she won Album of the Year, because I feel like it's such a good turnaround story, because she... In her last album, when she, I think it was Red that mm-hmm. lost, that she was like, that day after the Grammys, I thought of the name 1989 and I started making my album.
Wow.
And I thought it was so cool that she kind of, that she won Album of the Year for, you know, something that had, for a Grammy loss that had inspired her
yeah.
before.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, really cool. And I thought her speech was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was certainly a speech that is getting a lot of people talking.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I feel like it was just such a good message in general.
Yeah.
Like, yep. It would be, I feel like, sad if people made it just about one person
mm-hmm.
that she was talking about, because
it's about something larger.
It's about something bigger than that, because I feel like as a woman and even just as a person, there are always going to be people that try to say that you didn't deserve your success or try to make you feel small. And you can't really let that get to you, and it gets to a lot of people sometimes. So I feel like her speech was more than just about that.
Yep. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I love her.
I want to know, Katie.
Yes.
I was just like, I'm taking away all the questions from you.
No.
I mean, I wanted to start asking about like Fifth Harmony stuff.
Yeah.
Just because I know you guys are working on the new album, and are you guys done with the album?
We're 99.9% done.
All right.
Which means you're done.
Yeah, we're done. We're basically done.
Basically done. You're mastering the album right now, basically.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly it.
Awesome.
But, yeah, I think we have like a little bit of little things in like particular songs to clean up.
Finishing touches.
Yeah, finishing touches, but everything is basically done. And I'm really, really excited about it. I think that the fans are going to really, really love it. The sound is really, it's similar to what we've done before, because I feel like that's kind of the Fifth Harmony stamp, is just talking about, you know, girl power and right. having fun and music that you can dance to, because we like to do a lot of choreography and a lot of movement. So sonically, it has to reflect how we're going
to
perform.
Has to be a reflection there.
And speaking of, I feel like it's just a level up. Like I think that the songs are better. Like it's a really, really good batch of music. And I feel like the girls especially, like everybody gets to kind of sing a lot on this album, mm-hmm. which I think is really cool, because I feel like, you know, they're amazing vocalists, and I feel like I have gotten to hear like a side of us that I haven't necessarily heard before, and everybody's doing something amazing mm-hmm. in the album. Like every girl has a moment where, like, I've been listening to it and I've been like, wow, like she sounds so freaking good on this part, you know? So I'm really excited. I think the fans are gonna love it.
Well, I was going to say that you were saying how everyone's voice gets to get showcased yeah. individually, which is very cool.
Yeah, totally.
And I feel like with I Know What You Did Last Summer, like the fans got to really meet you individually.
Yeah.
And it's really cool how you guys all can do independent things, be your own humans, yeah. but then come together as this group.
I honestly think that's the only way for a person to be healthy.
Yeah.
For an artist to be healthy, because, you know, like I was saying before, Fifth Harmony, like it's amazing that we can all come from different places and have different music tastes and have different ideas of what music we would like to make, but all come together to be like, okay, this is our sound. But at the end of the day, obviously an artist, like, you feel kind of stifled when you can't completely express who you are right. without any compromises, without any meeting in the middle, like just kind of unabashedly being like, this is me and right. this is, and I poured, like, this was all what I envision in my head, and this is what is coming out. So I think it was really cool, and that's why I think I Know What You Did Last Summer was so special for me, is I got to kind of be like, that is Fifth Harmony, and I love what I do there, but this is who I am. Like, I listen to like Ed and John Mayer, yeah. and I like guitars a lot. And
yeah. Ooh, hey. Maybe there'll be some guitar-y acoustic numbers on the new Fifth Harmony album.
Your Instagram has a lot of awesome you
Thank
playing
you.
Guitar.
On
yeah.
guitar.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's my New Year's resolution, is that I want to get really good at it. I have
it's
like
awesome.
Calluses, which is cool.
Oh, that's yeah.
I kind of do this thing where I like go up to everybody and I'm like, look at my calluses. But I'm secretly
you're proud of them. I'm sure.
I'm secretly
yeah.
really, really proud
yeah.
of them.
You're not so secretly anymore, considering that you just told us about it.
Yeah, exactly. No, the guitar cover. I'm not very good at it yet, but hopefully.
Dude, your Justin Bieber Love Yourself
yeah,
version
was cool.
really cool. It was really cool.
Thanks,
like,
took
yeah.
me like 100 tries to get well, that. But hopefully I get better at it.
The finished product looks
Thank
really
so
great.
So what's going to happen is now on the next Fifth Harmony tour, you'll be like, you know, like Niall coming out with a guitar.
That would be freaking
out.
Sick. Although I don't know how I would do that, because I have to
dance a lot.
I have to dance a lot.
If,
that would be cool. What
if Taylor can do choreography and throw a guitar on every so often, you can.
No, what if I just had like my guitar and I just incorporated
yes.
the dance?
Yes.
Ooh.
That would be cool.
You need like a keytar,
maybe. Keytar. All those ladies with the keytars back in the 80s.
Badass.
Yeah.
Right?
I want to know, did the Meghan Trainor or Max Martin collaborations end up on the album?
Yeah.
Yay!
There's two MXM songs that are honestly like one of my favorites, two of my favorites on the entire album. And I can't reveal too much, so I'm choosing very carefully what to say here.
We understand.
But you will hear very soon.
Wow.
But it was amazing to work with MXM. I remember
That's
we
exciting.
We recorded there, and I was just like,
you went to Max's
yes,
studio.
Yes, and it was amazing. Like, I'm really good friends with Sovin, and I've known him for a really, really long time. So it was cool, but like, he was there, and Max was there, like sitting at the dinner table, and like all of these people, Sovin, and all of these people that I have made some of my favorite pop songs ever. And the fact that we were there, like just eating Thai food, and like they're sitting next to you, and obviously they're. The thing is, like, they're the coolest, most humble people ever, but they're just so mega talented that you can't help but kind of be, like, I'm kind of starstruck. Like, it was just really cool.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, yeah. they have careers like no other. Like,
yeah.
it's gone on for 25 years. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, but it's cool that their disposition is so, like, unassuming and so humble, but they're just kind of, you're just kind of, like, you're a genius.
Yeah,
like, this is so
sure.
cool, you know?
I saw something, and then I'll... I'll let you go because we're running up on the time.
Oh, no, talk to you all day.
Great. Then hang out. But we did say that we wouldn't keep you terribly long. I saw a picture on the Fifth Harmony Instagram feed like 2 weeks ago where it looked like all of you were in a desert somewhere.
Yeah.
Super glammed up.
Yeah.
That appears to be a video shoot. I could be wrong.
Or album cover shoot. Or
oh my god! So, I mean, I'm on the spot here.
It's something professionally shoot related towards the album.
I'm just gonna say we have visual material, all kinds of visual material that we shot as soon as we got back, and it's really really cool. Okay. I mean, I don't know if it's really cool, but I think it's really cool.
It looks really cool. It's the beginnings of something really cool.
Yes. There are many awesome things that may be coming out at some point in 2016.
Yeah, some point very soon in 2016. I know fans hate it when you say the word soon.
Well, no, you have to. See, no.
I would hate it, too.
We talked to enough artists.
I hated it when One Direction said their things were coming out soon as a fan. I was like, when is
Come on,
it?
Give me
when
a date.
When is soon?
But then you know, like, when you say, like, a date or spring or summer and then it doesn't happen for whatever reason.
That is the mistake
that
we made.
And the fans are just like, you lied to us. Blah, blah, blah. And you're like, no, it's not that.
No, we didn't lie. It was just not in our hands.
It didn't work out.
Right.
I think that's why Beyonce just drops it.
Yeah.
She's like, no explanation. Not giving you any explanation. Boom. Here it is.
She's invented the new verb of just, she's going to Beyonce you.
Pull a Beyonce.
She's pulling a Beyonce.
She Beyonce'd. I love it.
Anything else you want to tell us before we let you go back into the world?
I don't know. I mean, I'm really excited about the new Fifth Harmony stuff coming out. Thank you to anybody that's been really nice to. I know what you did last summer. That's cool. Thank you.
There's a lot of people.
There's a lot of people. Yeah.
Thank you. That was my child. And yeah, and Sean and I say thanks. And yeah, I'm excited for everybody to hear the new Fifth Harmony stuff. It's going to be awesome.
Awesome.
And I'm going to get some sleep because I went to sleep at 6 a.m. last night.
Oh my God. So you haven't actually slept at all?
Yeah.
I really didn't.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, but it was cool because I don't really get like a lot of those moments where, because my family came over from Miami, and I don't get those like movie moments where your parents are like, where have you been, young lady? And I had like my first one yesterday. And my mom was like, because I was out with Taylor and everybody last night, but I left my phone in the car, and mom was freaking out.
Oh, no.
And I got back and she was like, why didn't you answer? And I was like, listen, look at it on the positive side. We're having a normal mom-daughter incident.
Spin.
Yeah, that we thought we missed out on, but here we are.
Here it is.
Here we are.
Yeah.
We're having a moment,
you
mom.
Missed your curfew.
That's literally exactly what I said. She was like, go to sleep.
All right, thank you so much,
yeah,
Mila.
Thank you guys. Thank you. You guys are awesome.
Okay.
Yay. Give it to me, I'm worth it.
Thanks again so much to Camila Cabello. So nice.
Yes. Deserves all the success that she is enjoying as a duet partner to Shawn Mendes and as part of Fifth Harmony.
Yeah. You know, we're not going to have a chart stat of the week this week because, well, we're just not going
to
have one.
Well, you know what? The stat about the three albums to number one in a short amount of time was kind of its own chart stat.
There you go. the show is full of chart stats every week. Why add another one?
We hide them like little Easter eggs throughout the show.
Thank you, Katie. See, we actually did have a chart stat. Dun, 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 dun.
The chart stat is, we already told you the chart stats
are there. Should we, what music should we go out on?
Oh, man, there's a lot of choices from today. I mean, we could do a Kanye song.
We could.
Or would we have to like download Tidal to listen to it?
Yeah, that might be tough. We could do a One Direction song.
We could definitely do that.
We could do Drag Me Down.
We could do Drag Me Down in honor of its missed opportunity at the Grammys. Sorry, Grammys, you did you missed out on this one.
Let's go out on Drag Me Down. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Nobody can drag me down.
If If you're snacking on anything but tasty cake, you're making a huge Miss Cake. A fistful of chocolate-covered raisins? Miss Cake. A spoonful of peanut butter? Bigger Miss Cake. Or the worst Miss Cake of all, your kid's Halloween candy, and it's April. If it's not tasty cake, it's a Miss Cake, because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet or rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Tasty cake. Accept no substitutes.